Blog Talk Radio.
Presented by Garage Talk Live, the place to get the lowdown on dirt track racing from the greater Northeast and beyond. We plan on getting you up to speed and informed on all the latest news in the world of dirt track racing. From the mile at Syracuse to the bull rings in the Midwest, we've got you covered. So get ready for the fastest hour on Blog Talk Radio. And here, with their elbows up and the loud pedal down, your hosts, Joe Adams and Brian Whippy Whitman. Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Lowdown and Dirty. I'm your co-host, Joe Adams, along with my good friend, Mr. Brian Whippy Whitman.
What's happening, folks? We did it.
We did it. We're logged on again. Thanks for tuning in. We got a full house here tonight.
We're screwed.
We have. Besides...
Wait, I'm there. I'm back. Are you there? Oh, Joey, don't hit buttons. Are you there?
Okay, welcome back. Sorry about that.
Can you hear me?
We're down and dirty. I can hear you, Whip.
Test
we do apologize for that. We had a slight technical glitch there. As I was saying, we do have Mr. Mike Veltberger in-house tonight. We also have... Way to go, Mike. Way to be here. Chuck Shook, six-time.
Chuck Shook.
Six-time Grandview Speedway point champion.
Welcome. Did you hear?
I heard.
We're in. We're dead.
Yeah, baby. And I'd also like to extend a warm welcome to Miss Patty.
Hi, Miss Patty.
Thank you for coming, Miss Patty. What's going on, Whip? Anything good? How was your weekend?
Good so far.
Good.
I mean, it's only going to get better, I hope. What a beautiful day.
It was an awesome day today and yesterday.
Just open the gates. We practice, huh, Chuck?
Yeah, I'm game.
Couple laps. Well, I tell you what, a couple other people had a great weekend this weekend, too. Our dear friend, Mr. Billy Pelch Jr.,
yes,
married the lovely Michelle this weekend. So heartfelt congratulations to them.
And Billy's our guest next week.
Billy is on next week. Looking forward to having Billy on the show.
Already spilled the beans. He's going to the Chili Bowl, though.
And as you just did as well.
Well, it's all over faith space.
That's true. Also, a huge congratulations to Chuck Schutz's car owner, Michelle and Ty. Everybody knows him as Zig Ziglar, so congratulations to them for getting engaged this weekend. Congratulations to them. And another friend.
Oh my God.
Got engaged. A lot of happening this
What's
weekend.
Going on here?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Our good buddy, Mr. Stuart Friesen, got engaged to Jessica Zemkin.
Wow.
A lot of happenings this weekend. Marriages, engagements, all kind of fun stuff. I've been told
get
prior
a sprint car? Ooh.
I don't know. I've been told prior to the show that Ty Ziglar dropped the question on the cruise last week.
That's special.
Tell you what, he's all right for a kid his size. He's good. No, congratulations, everybody. That's kind of awesome. Also had some races this weekend, Whip.
Yeah, in Thor Harrisburg. The little guys.
Little guys. Future stars of tomorrow. This show was presented by Montgomery County Quarter Midget Racing Club. And, again, as we did last week for their shindig that they had going on, there's a ton of racers here. So I do have a list of winners, and I'm just going to touch upon them. You're going to hear one name in here quite frequently.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
They track them?
Her.
Oh.
That's right.
That a girl.
Good for her. Junior Animal number one was won by Brandon Shipley. Junior Animal number two was won by Mikey Langley. Senior Novice was won by Corey Lawler. Senior Honda one, Anthony Proback. Senior Honda two, Hannah Flood. Senior Honda three, Bobby Holdsworth. Heavy Honda, Sam King. Junior Novice, Dylan Girona. Senior Animal. Half, Billy Lasko. Light 160, number one, Hannah Flood. Again, that's three for Hannah. She pulled off the hat trick this past weekend.
Yes, she did.
Hannah is the daughter of Randy and Becky Flood. Huge supporters down there at Phoenix Rural Raceway. Both of those put in a ton of work and time to make things happen. Very nice people. So congrats to them. Light 160, number two, is by John Haller. V161, Austin Bellemeyer. Heavy 160, number two, Zachary Beers. Junior Honda, number one, Kevin Holt. Junior Honda, number three, Mikey Langley. Junior Honda, number four, Aiden Savanda. Light World Formula, number one, John Bangs. Light Word Formula number 2, Dustin Stoltzfus. Heavy Word Formula number 1, Billy Blaska. And Heavy Word Formula number 2. So that was the rundown for that. I got some insight here for this Harrisburg Farm Show. So much work goes into that. They rent that complex for 24 hours. So what they have to do in 24 hours is it starts at midnight. Then they have to pack, move out, set everything up, get everything all ready to go, and they start race to be early in the morning, and it goes till 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, and then tearing down and out of there by midnight.
24 hours.
24 hours. So,
God bless them.
It is. And there's a lot of people, as I mentioned Randy Flood before, Rob Pinder does a ton of work. Ian Endel, I know I'm missing some people, but those guys are absolutely amazing, and thank you so much for doing everything that you do. It's a huge effort to put this forth. Every Wednesday night they go to the track, and they hop on their equipment. They get the track ready because it's already ready already. It's there. Here we had to build the whole track. They had to do everything. They actually brought the track equipment from Phoenixville to Harrisburg to get all this in. It's my understanding that the Farm Show Complex supplied the dirt, but it was up to the whole crew there to
configure it. And
that is correct.
Bank it and whatever else they got to do. Holy crap, that's unbelievable. Well, hands off. I mean, we did it at the West End Fair with orders. They brought in, they did it for, and I remember doing that for the 2 years. Yeah, that was a little nuts, but I couldn't take it one day. That's crazy. You know? So.
Yeah, Bill, thanks for that. Great job, guys.
What else you got? Anything? We're done with all these engagements, right? And all that now.
Engagements. We're done with the engagements for now. I do have. I will say this about Phoenixville. If anybody is interested, or if you have a friend or a child that may be interested in getting involved in quarter midget racing, don't hesitate to go on to www.mcqmrc.com and check out their website. They have information there. It's a club that you have to join, so please feel free to hop on there and check that out. It's a great group. It's an awesome organization. It's a well-run organization, which is key, and that's why it is so successful. So check them out, see what's going on.
Good for them. They've been around for a long time?
Been around for a very long time.
Good.
Very long time. I don't know the inception date, but they've been around for a long time.
This area's got a lot of.
I'm sorry.
We got a lot of quarter midgets around here.
Absolutely. They are the future stars of tomorrow, baby.
I didn't realize how many they were.
Got a little bit of business here to take care of.
That's
like to let everybody aware of the Big Diamond Mall Show coming up March 3rd through March 9th at the Fair Lane Village Mall in Pottstown. All divisions of racing are welcome. It's a $10 entry fee, and entry fees are posted on the Big Diamond Facebook page. If the entries are received before 1/31 of 2013... Yes, that's right. Thank you for pointing that out. The Fair Lane Village Mall is in Pottsville.
Lovely downtown Pottsville.
The hustling, bustling metropolis of Pottsville. As I was saying, all entries received before 1/31 of 2013 are eligible for a drawing for one night's free pit pass, maximum of $40, compliments of MTL Motorsports quarter midget race team.
Nice. So there's the quarter midgets again.
There you have it. That was an awesome gesture from MTL Motorsports quarter midget race team.
Yeah.
That's cool. It's a nice incentive. So if you're going to this Fair Lane Village Mall in Pottsville, get your entry fee in early. And you got a chance to go in there for free one night. So check it out. Speaking of mall shows, too, I do have a little bit of sad news.
Yeah.
I've been informed last night that Scott Hoffmaster, who headed the entire deal over there at the Coventry Mall Show, is not going to be doing it this year.
So we're minus a mall show this year.
Pending. There have been some people that have shown some interest in maybe picking up where Scotty left off.
Oh, that would be cool.
It'd be way cool. It is a tremendous amount of work, though.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
Not easy. It's not just a matter of saying, hey, bring your car in and let's bring it in and show it off.
Don't work like that.
It would be great if someone did pick up on this. Because since the Coventry Mall is so close to our local racetrack here at Grandview, for everybody to get over there and get your sponsors out in front of the public eye,
it would be great if somebody did hop in there and kind of took over. But we'll see what happens.
We need that mall, Shaw.
We need it. It is close to Phoenixville, Mike Feltenberger. Thanks for pointing it out. This is why you are the professional.
That's why you are who you are, Mike.
And to be honest with you, the Coventry Mall Show, is there's a lot of stores that are closing up over there, so they certainly could use a little bit of boost as well.
The business.
The business.
Yeah.
The business of business.
We're not.
We need that.
We need that mall.
We do.
Hey, Joe, do you know who they get a hold of if somebody would want to get involved with promoting that?
I would love to tell you that.
Yeah.
Get a hold of Scott.
Get a hold of Scott, maybe, huh?
Maybe get a hold of Scott or just call the Coventry Mall office. And speak to the manager, and maybe they can point you in the right direction. Just say, hey, yo, dude,
I
want to have a ball show.
Yeah. We need this ball show. Come on, dude.
Yeah, that's right. So, that's all the business I have to take care of at this particular point in time. You got anything on your agenda?
Think we could fill that mall with cars?
We probably could. With the amount of people you know, you could fill it yourself.
I'm just thinking with Mike and just in the gang around here.
Where do we have an indoor race coming up this weekend at, Mike?
Baltimore.
Yep. What's racing?
TQs and cage carts
racing at Baltimore this weekend, indoors.
That's blocks from Camden Yards.
Two blocks from Camden Yards, I'm informed. This is a Lenny Sammons promotion, is it not?
Yes,
this
is
a Lenny Sammons promotion.
Yep. But no San Francisco Giants will be playing.
Another deal there is the fact that they have the business from the time the sports event is over until 11 o'clock the next night, where they have to bring in concrete barriers.
Oh my God!
It's another deal. Yeah, it's crazy. These indoor shows.
Yeah, it's not like the Chili Bowl. Well, the Chili Bowl is like, you know, they bring in like weeks before because they have the micro sprints race there. So, like, the Chili Bowl, you know, it's a 10-acre building, but it's not a one-day thing.
They got
what
time.
They do after each race is they take the dirt from the racetrack and store it back behind the complex, and that's the same dirt they use year after year
after year.
So they rubber it up.
Yeah. You know, just till her in. Send Kenny. You know? Send Kenny. He's the guru of dirt, man.
He is the guru of dirt. Kenny's the man. Kenny and Bradley.
Yeah, well, Brad, that's the future right there of the hill, you know?
Yes, that's very true.
Well, maybe Chuck can see the difference in the racing surface from beginning of the year to the end of the year.
It actually didn't change as drastic as it usually does. It's kind of stayed pretty equal, really, from the start to the finish. We kind of raced early in the night, so... But it stayed pretty good.
Do you guys use the same compound like the modifieds use?
Yeah, we use the exact same tires. Yeah, I mean, except for the fronts, but same compound, 44, 48, and the 50s.
I didn't know that. Wow. Yep. And they're American racers. So you don't get a tire, though? You don't get one of them free tires they give away?
Nope.
Well, what's up with that?
No, the worst part is our tires actually, you know, four tires for our car is more expensive than a modified four tires.
Well, something's wrong here.
They get a fun tire that's smaller, and they get a cheaper race. Yeah, they get a cheaper tire, but
that's crazy. All right, now, Chuck,
okay,
I have a million questions for you. I hope you're ready. Yeah. Late miles. Why? You've been racing these late miles for so long. Why? Nothing against Granby. I'm not bashing Granby. I'm not here to bash. But you're only paying like $800?
Yeah, well, it's one of those things. We got hooked in there, and then we got these super late models, and we've been traveling with super late, you know, for a while off and on, and just something we've grown accustomed to, you know what I mean, and got to know those cars. But, you know, back in 98, you know, I was rookie of the year in the modified and won the track championship in their late model.
What year?
1998.
Yeah. Awesome.
I don't remember that, but I don't get it.
Double duty.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I'd love to do it again because you race all night long, you're fresh.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. And, you know, it's just.
So who, you ran a modified and a late model?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I ran the 00 car that had the great big moose on the roof for Paul Reinford, who is actually the engine tech official at Grandview now.
Paul Ryford, huge drag racer, right?
Yeah.
He cut his teeth in drag racing.
So would you run a sportsman?
Yes, I'd run anything.
You'd run anything?
Triple duty.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yep.
So why you just stay with the late model? What's up with that? I mean, it's just, is that because the car owner, I mean, does he, we're running late models.
Yeah, basically. You know what I mean? It's something that we're fairly successful at.
Oh, yeah.
So we stay with it and keep plugging along.
I mean,
what keeps you motivated? You know, you got 6 championships, really. You got a ton of wins. You're 6th on the all-time win list up on at the Hill. Honestly, what keeps you motivated?
Just the thrill of driving them cars. Those cars drive, like, right on the edge. They're all hunched up, nose down, pinned down. They're a lot of fun to drive. They're exciting. And, you know, like I said, I'd drive anything. You know what I mean? I'd go to a modified if somebody gave me a ride or whatever, but, you know, financially I can't do all
that.
Yeah, you know,
yeah. Understandable.
Absolutely.
The late model, and we got good financial backing, you know, for the late model, and, you know, we're proud to represent them people.
You should run 30 lappers, don't you think? Features?
At least 25.
At least 25. Yeah.
I'm a fan of 25 laps.
You know.
Yeah.
When you can do 20 laps, now this is already documented. We did 20 laps in 5 minutes and I think 90 seconds.
Wow. That's impressive.
Before you even get going, it's over.
And you're starting like 16th.
Well,
you know.
Not that far back, but, you know.
Well,
you know,
starting deep.
You're starting deep, and in 20 laps, you let traffic pan out and everything else and be able to get going, it's over. You see the white flag, and then you're like, well, that was fun.
put it on the open trailer and go home.
Yeah, well, hopefully this year we'll fix that problem. We actually got a new hauler this year, so we got it for the last race, and it rained out.
I seen photos of that hauler. That thing is amazing. That thing is awesome.
Wow.
Hey, Chuck, we were actually talking earlier about the small cars and, you know, it seemed the last couple of years with small cars, you had Nate Christman move from the Slingshots into the late models, and you have Steve Nedorostek moving from the Legends into the late models. Is that an actual class of racing that small car drivers can actually, you know, find a future in, or is it like a step up to, you know, like the sports
model? Well, it's definitely a stepping stone. You know what I mean, for that, because, you know, unfortunately our car count is down a little bit in the late models. We would love to get more cars. But, you know, they're making the shows, getting their 20 laps, building on that like Nate did. Nate was, you know, won a couple races in the late model, then moved up and made to modify now, and he runs pretty good.
Yeah, he does. Tough competitor.
Yeah.
He had an awesome run down there at Delaware at the end of the season. I remember that.
18th the second, or
yeah, he was on the wheel that night.
Could Granby change the late model rules a little bit to bring more late models in?
They already did change the rules. They changed the engine rules and allowed the tires to be a little lenient for a couple weeks. You know, by far do I want to get into it, but it comes down to financial, you know, the money end of it for people to travel in.
Yeah,
and I mean,
I understand,
it's kind of not there, so they stay elsewhere.
Because late models are like out west, you know, Pennsylvania, western Pennsylvania,
yeah,
Ohio.
Central PA to west, right.
Yeah, you don't, you know, that's why I'm just saying, you know, the late models, you know, would you like to run a different track? You know, like say we had like a Friday, Saturday swing, like there's a new regime up there at Big Diamond. Wouldn't late models be pretty good up there, or what do you think?
Oh, I think they'd actually draw pretty good up there on a Friday night if they would have them. But for us to go up there on a Friday night between getting off of work and doing, you know, work comes first.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, you know, for us to make those, you know, Friday night shows is almost impossible.
So Saturday works for you guys. You load it up Friday, get it all ready, and Saturdays, let's put it on that open trailer. Why are you getting a closed trailer, man? You come in with that open trailer. It's so cool.
Not a trailer.
No, it's that rollback. It is.
Yeah, well, it's not even that no more. Now it's a closed truck. No more open trailers.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's like, you know, I just always, I mean, I'm cool with that. You going to let Joey let her up the trailer?
Nobody's going to touch a trailer. No one's touching a trailer.
The only thing touching the trailer is a sponge and a soft cloth.
So, L&R Collectibles this year, we ended up selling our open trailer to Bill Henning. He needed it for his racing season, but I still needed it. Well, they had this, what they call a high tower. It actually was built by Jeff Keats. Remember Jeff Keats?
Late model racer, number four.
Yeah, he hauled this rig in on his rollback, his car carriers. So L&R, which is Lee and Ruth Miller, who Jason Miller's parents, who drives number 44.
Yeah.
So they let me borrow this thing so I could put it on our body shop rollback so I could get my rig to the races, which was only supposed to be used 5 weeks. Because my new haul was supposed to be done, well, that got totally blown out of proportion. While we were running for the last points race and got rained out. So we used that thing successfully all year long, and it was a good deal. It really was, except for when it rained. Boy,
yeah.
That would suck.
I'd love to see when guys help each other out. I think that is one of the coolest things when other races are helping each other out. So hats off to them for giving you a hand with your needs there. That's cool.
Yeah, they're good people, you know what I mean, and they are a little, you know, sponsor of the car, and I help them as much as I can, and they help me.
That's what it's all about.
Definitely.
Now, with the addition of the Sportsman's Chuck, do you still feel like the skin lasts, or is it the idea that think the Sportsman's moved you down to the third support class in line?
After a slight roll of the eyes.
I do. I mean,
for those that are not here,
I hate to feel this way,
wow,
but I do feel we got notched down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know, I know it's all politics, really. You know what I mean? There's money pumped into the Sportsman's and this, that, and the other thing. But I was I asked the question: are we still going to be Division II dirt? Or are you going to move the Sportsman cars to Division II?
Right.
Because during my racing season, I raced for that Whaling Championship.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know what I mean? For the opportunity to go to Charlotte and meet people, and, man, you go down there and you are like somebody.
Right.
Right.
You have to witness it or get the opportunity to go down there.
Yeah, they have to let you guys have something to race for.
And by the way, round of applause because Chuck is going there next week.
Yeah,
you get the
clap.
Champion.
Yeah.
Have a blast next week. You earned it. You deserve
tonight.
It.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's cool.
We need Thursday morning for that, and we'll get down there. And
hope you have a blast.
Oh, we will. Most definitely.
I hope Patty behaves herself. That's the biggest issue.
The late model guy don't get to go on a cruise.
Do we really want to get into that question?
All right, Tina.
Yeah, we love Tina.
Love you, Tina.
I need to be as politically correct on this show as I can because you never know who's listening.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know.
Well.
Yeah.
As much as I would like to say right now, we could be here for several hours and we'll just get blue in the face.
Oh, boy. Sorry, I didn't mean to bring that one up. Yeah.
We're
wide open.
So
you're rocking this laser chassis.
Yes.
How many years have you been running them?
Since 2003.
2003? And
Lion Jimmy Bernheisel.
Yeah. And you like them? Because, I mean, a late model is totally different than a modified. I mean, they're incredible.
Most definitely. They're just a really awesome car to drive. Like I said, I often wanted to put Dwayne Howard or Craig Von Dorn in the car and just let them make laps just to see what they actually thought about, you know what I mean, my ride. But it just never panned out to really.
We got to make that happen.
We should make it happen.
Got to make that happen. I mean, we have to.
In all honesty, I'd love to see a late model versus modified race.
Well,
love
years
that.
Ago,
so
they
awesome.
Did that at Hagerstown.
Yes, they did.
They used
love
to do it
that.
At Hagerstown. I remember that.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, they'll do it at Delaware for the Camp Barnes race.
That's right. Forgot about that.
Like a dash.
Yeah. You know.
That's cool. Good idea, Chuck.
If you look at our lap times.
Go ahead.
If you look at our lap times, they're so close. They really are by lap times.
They really are.
Yeah, and that really, I think, gets some people upset a little bit.
I see. I love racing. I'd watch wheelbarrows. You know?
Yeah. That's awesome. Hey, I've just been informed that we do have a caller on the line right now. Hello, welcome to Lowdown and Dirty.
Hi, this is Ronnie Klein. I need to tell Schutz to get out of the inside lane because he's hogging it all up. I can't pass him. That's why I didn't have a good year.
I love you
good
too,
one.
Ronnie.
Good one. Hey. Good one.
Get Ronnie to clap. Do you know what
welcome
it is?
Welcome to the program, Mark the Shark Garmin. How are you?
How
are you, buddy?
I've had my better days, but I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
We're doing great.
Good.
Hey, we're trying to get the late models to run 25 laps next year, at least.
At what track?
Grandview.
Oh.
Chuck wants 30. I think 30 would be better.
Well, you know, if I would have got off my lazy butt and had a show for them, they would have at least ran 25.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, you and I talked about that at the end of the year there, Mark, so it wasn't your fault. Things. Just
I know. Yeah, you know, I had a couple things going, and then, you know, how money is. It fell through, and, you know, it's the way it is. Maybe we'll do something this year.
Well, I mean, the Firecracker 40 is a big one, ain't it? I mean, that's a big one, Chuck. For your, you know, that's like, we need more of them, don't you think? You need more of them, don't you?
Yeah. I think we should run twin features for the late models one night.
Ooh.
There you go. That'd be something different.
Twin 12s or twin 15s and maybe
twin
invert 20. The field and something like that.
Yeah, if anybody Chuck's going twin 20s.
Yeah, well, we can run twin 20s, run one at the beginning and one at the end, and the stock cars in between. That'd work out.
There you go.
But I'm not the promoter.
Right,
so,
right.
You know. I want to promote, but I don't have my own track.
Kozak's not there.
What's that?
We have to make sure Kozak's not there. We wouldn't need any sympathies. Twin
Sandbagging, yeah. God.
Wow.
You have any questions for Mr. Chuck?
Well, I Mark Richards called me. So he thought maybe Chuck could run his car every once in a while when he runs NASCAR because they both have the same number, so Chuck would be able to find it in the pits.
Yeah.
I have one question. I have only one question. Is the car going to have a number, or is it going to have a cursive O-N-E on it, or is it going to be printed, or what are we looking at for this year?
Right now, I would believe it would be, you know, probably going to be double, you know what I mean, with a...
One with the O-N-E.
Right.
Are you going to put it on the back quarter panel? put a bigger sponsor on the door?
You know, that's funny you asked that question because we were just talking about that because, you know, we're still trying to finalize some sponsorship deal, but we're kind of running out of real estate, so we might have to do something a little bit different.
There you go.
There you have it.
Hey,
just
well,
keep it
late,
on the roof. Yeah.
Yeah, if the late models are running out of things, we might have to put sail panels on them.
Yeah. Late models can't get no much bigger.
I know.
They're a big car as it is.
Yeah, we were just wondering if we could get away with just leaving a big number on the roof, actually.
Yeah, there you go. Out of work
hey,
for us.
I know some people would like that. There's sponsors all over the cars.
Yeah.
You know? But that's what you need, though, to keep racing, though. You need as many sponsors as you can get.
It seemed to work for a couple cars down there. That Joe Adams, he seemed to come up with that unique idea.
No, I never came up with that idea. That was a stolen idea.
He looked at the old racing program.
Yeah.
That's what he did to find that.
Hey.
That started, Mark, to be honest with you, as what I felt was a necessity for a couple of reasons. Number one, I was bored out of my freaking mind doing what I've been doing for the past 25 years. And number two, the two guys that I did it for this year dumped gobs and gobs of money into these programs, and I felt that they – needed to be justly served, so that's why I made them as big as humanly possible.
Well, you know,
I can't make the quarter panels any bigger, so I went to the next biggest thing, which
I said
the door.
To you earlier in the year, if you recall, one night up in the booth or something, I said those cars seem to get the most talked about and pictures, and the pictures show up well with the numbers like that because it looks different than the other car.
Well, exactly. I know going into it, a lot of people weren't going to like it.
It's
some
old
like,
school.
It is old school. Some it like it. Most
new,
hate,
yeah.
But they all talked about it.
I'm from upstate New York, and always in the Gator Racing News, if it had a three-digit car number, it was a Pennsylvania car.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
And the numbers were always on the quarter panels back in like the late 70s, early
80s. That's right.
Well, that was like the gremlin bodies. When you build a gremlin body, you didn't have much room in a door to put
no,
a number.
No, the doors
so
were literally.
So you put it up back behind the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Fryer always had that big number 4.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When it, the right. Gremlin bodies made the numbers on the off the door a little bit more feasible back then.
You're exactly right.
That's Mr. Feltenberger, isn't it?
Yes,
it
is.
But while
we got
he's
a whole
on,
house, man.
While he's on there, is he in live?
Yeah, he's live. In studio, Mark.
I'm still breathing.
I got to excuse Mr. Schutz. I have to ask Mr. or tell Mr. Feltenberger something. He was one of my 3 votes. He voted for me as best announcer.
Best
and
announcer,
I,
Mark.
And I haven't announced in 3 years. Thank him for that. Saw it out on the internet, and I just panned through all of them, and I saw MRF.
That was a
Mark
good
Garman.
Question.
I said, look at that.
There was a lot of names on that.
There was. There was
a lot of
cool
names
on there, yeah.
Yes.
Well, the thing is, Mark, and I basically gave it for this reason, you not only gave the people in the stands the information about
mm-hmm.
the cars on the racetrack, but you also gave the people in the stands something to look forward to. You just didn't pick out, you know, Chuck Schutz and Ron Klein running for first and second. No, you were back 7th, 8th, and 9th guys letting the people back there, you know, realize that there's more than 2 guys in a race, and that
yeah.
has a lot to do with racing announcing. So
that's
I'd like
it.
To thank you for doing that.
Well, thanks. I before I announced at Big Diamond, I never announced before anything
wow.
like that. And the only experience I had, I used to do their Tuesday night practice sessions. Because Bobby Stahl was the main announcer, and he
yep.
lived in Upper Black Eddy down by Flemington, and he didn't feel like coming up on a Tuesday night driving all the way back up to Big Diamond, so I would do it for him, and that's the only experience I had. And when Bobby quit, and I the first afternoon I announced at Big Diamond, I had no clue what I was doing, so I sort of took
them there.
Yeah, sort of took some of my favorite announcers, which were, you know, when I was a kid, I loved listening to Ernie at Grandview, and him and Jack Burgess that did Syracuse and,
yeah.
and all the dirt stuff, they had sort of the same nasally kind of, you know, voice, and then I took, you know, a little bit of Warren Ruffner, and I liked Frank Saggy at Hagerstown, and there was a guy that announced, like, Hagerstown, Williams Grove years ago, Glenn Pressgraves. I liked him. Jack Frazier was tremendous at Silver Spring. You know, and then there's a lot of other announcers out there who were really good. I liked Tim Pitts. But I took just a sort of a mixture, and I sort of remembered what I liked to hear when I was there. And I liked, like, the little sponsors. I mean, you got the big sponsors, and Chuck can tell you. He got little and big sponsors on his car, but the little guy that gives him $500 or $750, he might be at the track too, and he might like to hear his name. So I would go around and I'd write everybody's sponsors down, and I try to give everybody as much, you know, if whatever you gave, I try to treat everybody the same, and I try to do that with my sponsors for the late model races and stuff. Like Mike would give me a couple bucks, and I'd plug his TV show, and I'd plug his. Strapped in magazine and all kinds of stuff, and I would and somebody would give me maybe twice as much money, but I would plug Mike the same way because I thought everybody was the same. You know, they just had the opportunity to give whatever they wanted, and that was that.
That's why you are the man, Shark Man.
I try. Oh, I got to tell my. I was watching Mike the other morning before I went down to get some tests, and him and Barry Engstad and Mike Batts were on. I only watched 10 minutes of him though on TV.
Awesome.
He had his Ryan Smith T-shirt on.
Hey, I still use the Mecca Mud phrase. I love the Mecca.
Hey, that's
mud.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yes,
hey, now here you go. Now you got Chuck. You got Chuck sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have 8 nicknames for that guy.
8. Fire them off.
I heard them earlier today.
The Chuck Wagon, Fast Orange Crush, the Rifleman. Chuck Rock, can we keep going? You know,
Sergeant Chuck, come on, man.
Chuck,
Sergeant Chuck,
the paratrooper from Pottstown. You know, hey, got them all.
I didn't know you had that many nicknames, Chuck.
I didn't know either. Oh, the only nicknames that we were fans.
Yeah.
My
Delta
favorite,
like
my favorite is the Chuck one.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Oh, that was good.
Chuck always thought Mother's Day was for him a lot of times.
Oh,
well, Mark, listen, we appreciate you dropping us a line here and checking in with us and talking to everybody.
I appreciate you calling me. I'm really don't have really nothing to do.
Well, listen to the rest of the show.
I can't. I don't have a computer in front of me.
Oh,
man.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
Watch the Sports Center.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I had the Sixers game when they were getting blown out.
No good.
Yeah.
No good. Well, listen, Mark, we appreciate you checking in with us, and we hope you have a great night, and I'll probably chat with you sometime tomorrow, my friend.
All right. Hey, thanks, everybody, and good luck to everybody. And Chuck, go get him, number 7.
Yep, I thank you for all the support you had through the years you gave the late models, too.
And I'll try to continue it if I can.
All righty.
Thanks for everything you do, Mark.
All right,
thanks,
we'll see
Mark.
You.
All thanks, right, Mark.
Thanks again. See you, Whip. See you, Mike. See you, everybody.
Okay, take
all
care,
right.
Mark.
All right, bye.
Mark the Shark.
Good dude, right?
Awesome dude, yeah. Man.
Well,
how do you like your new nicknames?
Orange Crush.
Well,
Orange Crush. I like the Orange Crush.
I like to be wrecking stuff.
Where'd the Rifle Man come from?
Yeah.
I got to check with him on that. Man. That one was new to me.
Are you a hunter?
No.
Well, you are now.
I don't need to take my gun for a walk too much. That's for sure.
Take my gun for a walk. I like that.
Hey, while we're on this, Mark's actually the in-car radio official at Grandview. Do you actually get to hear what they're saying over the radio when you're racing, Chuck?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we get to hear, when there's an accident, he tells us where it's at, low or high. Tries to keep us out of trouble. And then when we're having an off night, too, we actually hear additional
yes,
words about our skills.
Yes.
Gives you friendly suggestions, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sometimes
yeah.
Not so friendly. Huh?
I got to run the in-car radio one night for Mark. He had to bug out early. Actually, it was the night of the Forest Rogers. And I never did it before, got thrown to the wolves. But it is so cool that you have control over 30 guys that just listen to every word you have to say. And you don't hear them say anything back, which is awesome. But,
did you ever look down at them in the car and see if they're flipping you off or anything?
That's why I always looked away because I didn't want to see.
Hey, that's what we used as the code when I was on the radio. I said, if you're going past the starter stand, make sure you show me I'm number one. Well, you should have seen for the number one by the
That's good, yeah.
That's good.
Now, Chuck, you planning on doing any shows this year? You thinking of heading to motorsports, doing anything like that?
Yes, we're going to be at the motorsports. Our car will be in the Jones Racing Products booth.
Good people.
Yes.
Very good people.
Take care of us and, try to promote his line of equipment.
Car going to be orange again this year?
We are still working on.
Oh. There goes the Orange Crush.
No, there will definitely still be orange on it. We're kind of labeled under the orange now.
Yeah.
I like orange and we're just not sure how much will be on it or
right.
What other companies will be.
So you'll be doing motorsports. Is it safe to say that you'll be doing the Reading Car Show as well? Good. Good. Nice place. Both venues are excellent to showcase your sponsors. And speaking of which, who's on board with you this year?
We haven't totally been in contact with everybody yet. I hope everybody is. But for the most part, Pioneer Paul Glenn, Bob Green, who's a tremendous supporter of the racing
all around.
All
yeah.
around period. He would definitely like to be back on the car.
Right.
Chad Stein at BPG, who is a great big supporter of auto racing again.
Mm-hmm.
We have Richards and Canara Memorials. For your tombstone venues for your.
It's a unique sponsor to have on a race car. I think you're the only one that's ever had that I've ever seen, which is awesome. That's good marketing on your part.
Yeah, they actually became very close friends. Yeah, they're almost like family, which is all my sponsors, really. We're tight-knit with
it
all
is,
of them.
It is a big family with your whole organization, which is awesome. I always feel very welcome when I stop by your truck and trailer at the end of the night from everybody. It's always great to stop by and say hi.
Yeah, and then, we have Nationwide, the Wagner Agency. Here's, they're local in Pottstown and Boyertown and, areas. They take good care of us. Ty Ziegler, Ziegler Construction, Ziegler Enterprises.
Yeah.
He's actually the car owner, so, things work out good.
Is he still going to be able to own a car this year after his cruise? After what happened with him? Okay. All right, just checking in there.
I believe so. And then we have Jesse Bauer Trucking.
He's been a long-time supporter of you.
Yes. That's a venue that they're growing. They have a roll-off dumpster service now. And anything you need hauled,
they can haul it.
All right. That's what people got to do. You got to support the local sponsors.
Yeah.
You know?
You got to take care of people who are taking care of you.
That's right. So when you're on these, who does your motors for these late models? Or what? It's a 358, correct?
Yeah. It's
just like a small block, like wheeling modified motor?
No, it's almost the same thing as your modified at Grandview.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I just got cast iron heads versus the aluminum heads, the spec-headed stuff. It's 10.5:1, which is the same. It's on a 650 carburetor versus a 750. But it's a very good motor, and Doug Myers does my machine work, and I assemble them.
Oh, really?
Wow.
You put them together, so when they puke, it's your fault.
Only you, Whip.
Yeah, you know, I just ask him as a fan.
Now, with all the different shocks that are out there now, Chuck, what makes you decide on what you're using, and what do you use?
Do I really got to relinquish that? But no. We use Olin's. We use Olin's shocks. A guy out in Central PA takes care of us very well. And that's just kind of what I got hooked up with, and they seem to be working pretty good.
Now, is that the shock in the center, too? Do they supply that shock, you know, in the center of them chassis?
Yeah, that's the fifth coil shock. Well, there's actually, yeah, the fifth coil.
They're an exotic machine, I'm telling you, man. They just blow my mind. There's so many adjustments. Just staring at the back of one, you know, just the adjustments that you could do in it. I mean, can you do, like, those adjustments during the race? You know, just go in there and raise it up, lower it down?
No. There's no weight jacking controls whatsoever allowed
in the car.
Do you think that's a good thing? Because those late models are so sophisticated, much more so than a modified. You could probably really trick yourself out of the ball game real quick. Patty points to you.
I dial myself up pretty fast before we even get on the racetrack. He gave me some kind of controls in there. It might get way ugly.
Yeah. That's good.
Now, the term super late model, are those the same chassis that you guys run?
Yes.
The same chassis.
From everything up to the transmission, you know, anything's different is the motor.
Okay.
And it's just a bigger motor than a super late model.
Yeah, they're 99% of the time all aluminum motors, aluminum blocks.
Right.
They're usually anywhere from 380 cubic inches up to, I know guys that got 565 cubic inch motors.
That's a fire-breathing monster.
Yeah,
there,
that's
buddy.
A monster.
Yeah.
Now, do you like it on three wheels or four wheels?
Four wheels.
Bloomquist always said four wheels.
Yeah. Well, especially with the banking on Grandview. If you're three-wheeling it, you cannot see anybody that's below you. And that's just the recipe for disaster. Either you're going to find the guardrail or tube tire or somebody
yeah.
else.
Yeah. Do you like the guardrail? Do you like that guardrail since they put them in there?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, we shaved a couple parts off, grinding along. Yeah, I think the guardrail was a really good thing for that. Because, you know, everybody before was up on the berm.
Yeah, they were.
And me and my friend was, you know, depending on the track, I'm a bottom feeder too, you know what I mean? And, man, look out. The further you can get to the bottom, the faster you're going to go.
That's good. I like that line.
That's right.
Grandview has their hot laps is based on the green, white, and checker. Can you learn anything from that?
That is just to make sure your engine's hitting on all eight. Other than that, it's just a mud collector. That's all it is.
Really?
And you hold it wide open. You don't lift. For three laps, you don't lift unless you're going to run over somebody or get in trouble. But
yeah, because the track conditions are so drastically different from the time that you take hot laps till you get onto the track there. I can see your point that you really can't learn too much. But it's good to know that all eight are firing when you get out there, isn't it?
Yeah, and it gives you that little – it gets them kind of loosened up. It's intense moving out, you know what I mean? And then you're ready for the night.
Now, speaking of being tense, this throws me back to our guest last week, John Willman. We found out from John
last
week.
You know what I'm thinking.
Yeah. John likes to take a little snooze right before warm-up.
Hot laps.
He is that relaxed. Are you that relaxed? Are you keyed up? Do you still get butterflies? What? Talk to us about that.
I pull in from running the track in, and I literally can sleep in that race car in the infield.
You sleep too?
What's going on here?
And you know what it is? I'm going to tell you right now what the key to this thing is.
It's the seats. The seats support you so much that you can just let your body totally relax and you can just meditate there.
Yeah, awesome. Well, it's a good thing Lazy Boy doesn't make racing seats because
yeah.
we'd be in trouble.
I can go to sleep. Even the guys, when we scale the race car, as soon as they climb in their race car and the scales, they're sleeping within 5 minutes. And that's your lot.
It's equal opportunity. Unbelievable.
That's it is, because Justin Johnson, he falls asleep. He parks next to Mimi, so because Mimi knows he's sleeping, he fires it up, and then he knows.
Mimi fell asleep in the infield already.
Yeah.
How you need to go? You park along somebody like the guys that were in line with. If you go out for the second group, you're in there just nodding off.
Well, what blows my mind about that is I've always been involved in sports, and awesome. No matter what sports venue I did, a lot of the competitors are always keyed up. You see them, you know, they're shaking, they're loosening themselves up. It's just nervous energy, and you guys are like comatose. It's unbelievable. And then you go out there and sling it at 85 miles an hour sideways. It blows my mind.
Yeah. The green comes out and it falls out, man. Do you wear a Hans device?
No.
Do you have a containment seat?
No.
So you're old school.
I'm old school, just with a headrest.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, more likely you should, because, you know, gravity's small, but I mean, you're hustling around that.
You are.
And, yeah, you really should. I already, when I was racing modified, jumped the wheel, hit the wall, like sideways, like a body slam thing, and my head went over and banged off the right side cage rail.
Happens more often than you think.
And I'm going to tell you what. There ain't no physical way my neck could reach that far.
That's
but
right.
It was ugly.
The human body stretches so much in an impact situation like that. I've talked to sprint car drivers, little dudes that are barely above the seat, and they flip violently, and they've had paint marks all over the cage and stuff, and they could sit in there and try to wiggle out of there all day long, and they'll never even get remotely close to that roll cage.
But, man, you need a full containment seat.
And I had some strap marks. I got wrecked. Just getting wrecked at S&S, and you get the stripe across.
Oh my God! I couldn't even fathom that.
Too funny. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break here for a couple minutes. We're going to take a little cool down lap, and we'll be back here in a few minutes and continue chatting with our good friend Chuck Schutz. So
Yellow's
we'll see
out.
You in a couple minutes.
Yellow's out.
Yellow's out. Welcome back, everybody. In-house, we have our special guest, Chuck Schutz, six-time. We have a caller. Six-time Granby Speedway champion, as well as this year's Division II NASCAR champion. So congratulations on that. Now, Chuck, we were talking about some racing endeavors and things like that before the break, and I know that you've been quite the fabricator over the years of your racing endeavors here, and what are some of the wild things you've created for yourself?
I would believe the probably the wildest thing we ever built was probably the offset modified, you know, which became the two-seater modified at Grandview.
So, in other words, you're saying that you actually sat on the left-hand side instead of traditionally in the center like a modified.
Yeah, you sat off the left-hand side and...
Where did this come from?
I mean...
It was just in thought, dreamt up one night and lost a lot of sleep over it. And, yeah, just trying to go faster or, as they call it, reinvent the wheel.
That never dawned on me that, you know, you guys are on the left, you know, and that... So you had to change bars and everything.
Well, it was a four-link car. It basically was a late model suspension stuffed underneath a modified for the most part. I mean, a lot of fabrication went into that car, and, you know, it's probably the most extravagant thing I've built in a while besides my Camaro.
And then the rules changed.
Well, when I was done racing that car, now they decided they weren't going to have another one, so I basically rewrote the Grandview rule book because of that. All the dry shift has to go between your legs. And...
Thanks, Chuck. Way to mess it up for everybody.
We had our struggles with it at Grandview, and we ended up we went to Williams Grove one night with it. You know, for like an open show, you know, years ago, I'm talking 99, probably 99, 2000. And car was extremely fast, but couldn't keep the motor together. And we were in the heat races, beating the bearings out of it. And then we take it back to the hotel and put it up on the lift and, you know, put new bearings in it and polish up the crankshaft.
During the show?
No. No, the show was over. Okay. We went home for the night. The concy was the next day.
We rolled
back to the hotel, and that way had the old cheese wedge trailer, as they called it, with the lift inside, and we put up on the lift, drained the oil, and got the emery cloth out, went down the AutoZone, and, man, we were scooting through bearings, oil pumps, and all kinds of stuff, and got it to run again, and went back up for the concy, and ultimately ended up pretty much hurting it really bad.
Well,
not really, because that motor to today is my Grandview late model backup engine.
Get out.
Still lives.
And it still lives.
It's still alive.
What a cool story.
Yeah, that's awesome. It ain't a boat anchor. It's the backup motor.
No, it is actually our backup engine. Knock on wood, we haven't needed it.
That's right. That's right. Now, you talked a little bit about, you touched upon having your Camaro. I'm very familiar with your Camaro. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this Camaro that you have?
I found out about this Camaro that was an ex-race car. It was sitting on the guy's trailer at his house, and a tree fell and smashed the roof down. So here I go. I went over and looked at it, had all good parts on it and everything else. But the roof was, I mean, it was on the doors.
So what do you do in a situation like that?
You're a fabricator.
In a situation like that, you pour the power of the roof back out and then decide one day you're going to make a roadster out of it, so you solve all the roof.
Oh, man. There you have it.
And it still lives today, and we are trying to get it to go like 880s in the quarter mile right now on nitrous. It'll go 950s right now on motor, and I drive it everywhere. Me and Patty go for dinner. We go everywhere with it.
That's a convertible. So cool.
Yes.
What year?
71.
Wow, that's the long.
Yeah.
Dude, tree falls on your roof, cut it off.
Dude, that's
convertible.
Dirt, man.
Real simple.
You can't believe. We have a lot of fun with that car.
And you drag race it.
Yeah.
Where do you drag race at? Maple Grove?
Maple Grove, Cecil County, you name it. I just ended up getting my competition license to go
you know, under the 10-second bracket.
Because you have to have a physical every time you do that under the 10-second bracket.
Well, you got to have a competition license. You got to get the car certified and everything else.
Got to be stamped and everything.
Yeah, they put a big sticker on the cage. And
they run Island Dragway down to Jersey.
Yeah.
They run there.
Yeah, I didn't go down there, but we get down to Cecil and we just terrorize.
Yeah, that is awesome.
My drift and I haven't made a full pass yet, but it should go 880s right now, and it's got a parachute on the back and everything.
That's cool. And you build the motor, so
yeah, that one I bought and then I modified myself, not taking it all apart.
Put the chuck shut chuts.
It's a fun piece. We have a blast with it.
Now we always talk about our dirt track racing family. How does our dirt track racing family compare to the drag racing family? Do you fit in? Are you an outsider? Do they say that guy goes in circles
goes
on Saturday night?
You would not believe when I rolled, like when I had the big hauler, I rolled in and here comes the people. They're like, "What are you doing here? You're a dirt racer." And they're actually dirt fans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They go to dirt tracks and then they go to drag racing.
Mm-hmm. That's me.
And, you know, we have, it's amazing the amount of people that I have met. And it was proud to meet through the dirt track racing and even the drag racing. The people are just phenomenal.
Good to hear. Awesome.
So you run like, did you ever run like when the NHRA or like Maple Grove? Just,
no, I'm just an ET racer.
So you're just like a Saturday? They go there on Saturdays. So what do you do? Do you do this during the summer or during the racing season, or do you just do it on the off season?
Well, it's during the season sometimes. Dirt track takes up a lot of my time,
mm-hmm.
but this is why we're kind of getting a little bit of a late start, because I've been drag racing since they shut the doors at Grandview.
Oh, wow.
And we've been terrorizing stuff and going in here and driving around, and I've been having such a good time that I'm like, yeah, trying to pull off the dirt car thing a little bit, and I'm like, oh, man, we got to get going now.
That's funny. I like that. I like that.
You know, it's just awesome. You know, anyway, just my buddy actually last week. I wanted to, there was a, I think it was a Toys for Todd something Corvette for kids at Westchester, and my buddy's like, "Come on, let's go." I'm like, "Dude, this thing ain't got no roof on it. It's 40 degrees out. I'm not driving to Westchester."
Yeah. Wow. I want to see a picture of that. That's cool.
It is an awesome piece.
It is an awesome, beautiful car.
That Gerald Chamberlain modified is actually a regular street car out in California.
Yeah, I've seen the YouTube.
Incredible. They took a modified, and they made a street car out of it. That's what they're running out in California. Chamberlain Coupe modified.
I never seen that.
Yeah, but pretty sure if you just go on YouTube.
Does it have fenders on it? Or
no.
California
the lights,
doesn't require that.
The lights come up off the shock towers, and it's a regular car.
How cool is that?
It looks really neat.
In California, you say?
Yeah.
They have to get away with that for the emissions, unless they got some kind of...
Yeah, because they're pretty stringent.
They actually have the car driving around on YouTube. It is in California somewhere.
Wow.
It's incredible.
Oh, look at that. Green.
Whippy just
saw
the picture of the Camaro drag car.
What made it green? Don't race car drivers have superstition with green?
Well,
that's a drag car.
Patty's dad actually has a body shop, and his colors are green. We have a green rollback and green dump trucks, and everything else is green.
So, yeah, that's
and
green.
I actually picked this green out. I like the green with the black stripes. You know, it's just something I always liked, and that's what we painted it. I was going to paint it burnt orange, and I decided not to.
And these guys don't know this, but this car is show-worthy, too. It's been at a few shows that I've been to. So
it ain't just the 71 Camaro with the roof cut off.
No, way more than that. It's an absolutely beautiful car. An excellent job, as always, Chuck. Great job fabricating that.
Thank you, boss.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Hey, would you ever, have you like ran, well, you ran the super late models when they were around here for the World of Outlaw Tour. Would you like to like race at other tracks? I mean, have you raced at other, you know, tracks with the late models besides like, what, Williams Grove?
Yeah, we
raced. Diamond?
Yeah, we raced Big Diamond, Williams Grove, Winchester,
okay.
Heston, Hagerstown, Delaware.
So you've traveled.
We've been pretty much around with the Super.
Williams Grove. You like the big tracks or small tracks?
Oh, whatever goes fast.
Yeah, whatever.
While we're on this. Did you like the topless late model racing at Grandview?
Yes. I don't know.
Would
why
you be into that?
I'm always into that. You know, the thing I say about it is the weekly program kind of gets boring.
It does. You got to change it up.
Why don't you change it up?
Yep.
Even the modifieds, take the roofs off one night and let them go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It gives the fans something different to come look at.
Yeah.
We can
it's
have
a great idea.
50 for the late model. I'm telling
Firecracker Boom, I believe one night, one year was topless.
I don't remember. Really?
We won it.
The fans do like the idea of watching the guys steer a race car.
That's why people love racing.
That's right. You can see them working the wheel.
You can definitely get in there and see the thing hustling, that's for sure.
That is so cool. Now, plans on going anywhere this season? Or are you going to stick close to home here?
Probably this year, now that we got a hauler, that we can actually go somewhere a little comfortably. Probably towards the end of the season, we may run more. There was talks about trying to put something together to run the Appalachian Mountain Speed Week. We do have all our super late model engines sitting there, fresh, ready to go. Just
sitting there.
Didn't know where to go because we actually got rid of our second car. Now we're only down to one car, and then to change motors from the Grandview deal, and it gets to be a lot, especially when you're point racing and trying to keep, it gets really busted up on the road, and you got to come home Saturday night. And
we know you don't point race, don't go to the first race.
No. what else do you race for, though? I want to win as many races as possible.
Right.
Everybody thinks I'm a point racer, but I race my car to what my car allows me to race it without over-racing it. You know what I mean? And beating it up. If I finish fifth that night and the wheels are still on it, I'm happy.
It's a good night. You know
what I mean? I don't got to tear up the car for third and end up wrecking it and finishing 21st.
Got you.
So,
I think the late miles are good. I think you guys need more PR and everything at Grandview. I like the 25 lap deal. I think 30. Tina, you listening? 30 laps, Tina.
I'm not sure what happened here, with that. And it was kind of a smack in the face. The sportsman cars come and bam, 25 laps. And here we are at 20.
Mm-hmm. And technically, late models are the second division at Grandview.
Just like I think if the third division ought to run first. Instead of us.
You guys get really jammed up on time sometimes.
Yeah, you don't have much time to do much.
No,
and it's tough. Like I said, a lot of times I won't even race my car that hard in the heat race because I don't want to tear it up because you ain't going to make the finish.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I race just to get inverted and have at it. We didn't win a heat race all year long, I don't believe.
You could use a hot lap as a hot lap session in a way.
It's one way of looking at it. Realistically, the heats don't pay anything, so why kill yourself to do it?
Exactly.
What do you think needs to be done to have the late models gain more popularity?
We're going to get you in trouble, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's going to come. Here it comes.
It's been said 100 times. You know what I mean? A little bit more money. But, that's...
Because realistically, your operating cost for these late models isn't far off the game to a modified.
Exactly the same.
Exactly the same. And you're running for
exactly
you're running for like a third of the money, so to speak, even less. With that being said, so if somebody says to you, "Well, duh, why don't you just go get a modified?" What keeps you there? Patty shaking her head. Nah, I don't like that. You don't like the the dumpsters on wheels, do you?
I call them buggies because they got a straight axle.
Buggies have straight axles.
Wow.
That's true.
No, it's, like I said, car owner, and that's what he wants to race. And he don't really want no parts of a modified. We've been down that road. And this is where it leads me to be.
Yeah.
And I'm very – I could be comfortable in anything, honestly. But, I'm really starting to know the late model. And it's just – kind of my little world.
Yeah.
You're like our Mr. Smooth at Grandview. Nothing against Billy Moyer, but you're like Mr. Smooth at Grandview.
Something they don't know about me.
You know?
I mean, I'm sure you can ask a couple people. Yeah.
I mean, I'm in the infield, and I watch, and it's just like sometimes it's incredible that the way you guys race. I mean, you're late. Sometimes you guys are three wide, and then you're jacking it into that corner. And you just got to have respect for the guy who's next to you.
There was many modified guys. You want them to go back and sit in the stand and watch the other races, and even some guys who don't make the race, and they're like, I cannot believe you guys run three wide
mm-hmm.
and not rub. You don't got rub rails and nothing, nope. And you guys go cleanly and just keep going.
Yeah.
And that's what they call good racing.
Yeah. Oh, it's respect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is, because, I mean, there's a small of you guys. There's not a lot of you, so you have to have respect, because you can't go hide in the pits at Grandview. You know who banged into you,
yeah.
You know?
You know, and that's the thing about me. You know, if I get wrecked and it was a racing deal, fine. You know, I mean, I usually don't have no confrontations with anybody. Dude, we got to race together next week, so why are we going to fight this week?
Yeah, I'm going to see your ugly ass next week, you know.
We're still going to race together. And, I mean, I don't know about you, but I hate fixing it.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Banging panels and tearing up equipment that don't need to be tore up.
And you're banging panels with them, man, because there's a lot of panels with light models.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Do you have help beside you and Patty, or do you have guys who help you?
Yeah, I guess you could say the crew chief's the car owner.
Uh-huh.
And then we have Don Garber, and Ted and Jordan Knapp, Tina and Jeff. I mean, we got a really good crew. You know, my parents, and it just goes on. And of course, Patty.
How many hours actually goes into from the time they throw the checker on a Saturday night till you're going in? How many hours a week does the crew you put on working on the race get it race ready?
It's a full time job. That's we get done work. We're in the shop, and we are going through that car from A to B, flipping tires, whatever we need to do, changing parts that are lapped out, that have enough laps on them. Okay, it's not broken, but we exchange them out to keep the car fresh.
Yeah.
Because it still plays wear and tear on the components on the race car.
Let's put it this way. That's how a six-time champion does it.
Yeah.
Other people have put a lot less into it.
Yeah. When you come in from hot laps, does the car owner listen to you, or do you listen to the car owner?
I don't listen to nobody.
Okay.
Ironically, Patty,
you
do the same thing.
I come in and run the
show.
You. Yeah.
And you're the one out there. I mean, I know some car owners, hey, why don't we do this? And I'm like, dude, you ain't even out there, man.
Yeah.
You know?
All those guys I have great respect for all my guys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Have great respect for me. And, sometimes I get a little off the head, and I apologize. But,
It's the heat of being competitive. Yeah.
This ain't the first week.
Yeah. It ain't the first time I've snapped.
I've also been just handed a note from Patty that said, you're in the garage all night with the word all underlined several times, and that's why you lasted for 20 years. So it works mm-hmm. out really well for you.
Hey. You have a full-time job besides fixing the late model?
Yeah, I actually work for the car owner.
How does that work?
Ziegler Enterprises. Yeah, I work for him, so.
How are Monday mornings if you have a bad Saturday?
Yeah.
Honestly, we don't have a bad deal. If we have a bad night.
It stays at the track.
Stays at the track.
Yeah,
that is very commendable.
It is no big deal, really. We just keep plugging on. We know there's next week. And, he has faith in me, and I have faith in him that we're going to all do the right things and get the job done.
That is awesome.
You're working 40 hours for the man that owns your race car.
Yes.
That's
sometimes more.
Sometimes more. That's pretty cool. I don't really hear of that often.
And then plus all the time at the shop. And thank you for all your crew guys. It's all the amount that, like Scotty said, this is what it takes to be a six-time champion. So hats off to your crew guys for putting in the work that they do. Because you certainly wouldn't be able to do it all yourself. There's no question about that.
Well, who's carrying the load? Who's carrying the load when you go to Charlotte?
Well, things are
in limbo.
Things are in process.
Oh, okay.
We need to be there for these things right now. We will be back Saturday morning Saturday night, but we'll be back at it hard.
Cool. And you go to Charlotte, and they treat you, your award ceremony, the whole nine yards. You guys are the class act.
Yeah, I mean, you still got your Division One people down there, and but for the most part, we're still all equals. You know, we'll wake up Friday morning, we'll go to this huge breakfast that they have ice sculptures and
fancy
layout that you can't believe.
For a dirt racer.
Well, it's for every race.
For a NASCAR.
Yep. Yeah. And then we'll go into another room, and we'll have what they call like a midday presentation. You'll get awards and, you know, contingency stuff. And, you know, I mean, and your pictures. And then you'll actually leave from there. Then you go over to your dress your rehearsal. And then you'll end up going back and relax a little bit and getting suited up for your final rehearsal and then the big show.
That is awesome. So these contingency sponsors that you spoke about that you get awards for, this goes back to those little decals that are on your car. So it makes it pretty important to have that kind of stuff on there to get these extra awards.
Some things you do get. Mm-hmm. It's nothing really major. We get a couple little things. Like this year, I believe we'll get Puma racing shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's Puma glove. We get a jacket, some little knick-knack stuff. But those contingency stickers are still Division One guys. Get all the money.
They get all the fun stuff.
Really? You don't get none of that.
No.
But they want you. Wow. But at least you get the trailer? The
TP trailer.
Yeah, TP trailer.
And so you get that one at Grammy. But really, all those stickers that you put on and you don't get nothing.
No, it's
all for the big dogs. And you guys are big dogs, man. I mean, you're down there.
But we are technically still support division, you know, keeping it all in reality.
And that's not fair. It's the way it is, unfortunately.
I'm coming down and screaming.
You know, what do you want me to say? Yeah.
Don't Ernie got any pull into that or anything down there? You know?
I guess if you drive a modified.
Yeah. You know?
Hey, Chuck, racing basically is a family-friend sport. On a bad night, do you actually stay around if the race is over for the fans to come over and talk, or are you one of them bad night, I'm heading home?
Nope. My car usually 90% of the time is not on that trailer, truck, or whatever until the final people are gone.
That's what racing's all about right there. Good night, bad night, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
Nope, I smile every time for every person who walks through there. I'll sign anything. I'll give the shirt off my back to that. Yeah, I mean, to whoever, you know, comes and talks to me. And
you're a class act, man, because a lot of guys have a bad night. I'm not mentioning I can say car number, but I won't. You know, they split. That's cool. You stick around for the fans and everything. Then they as fans, we appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and through the years, I learned that because there's people who've been coming to see me for years now, and that's why they came to Grandview. And
that's right.
I'm really nobody, honestly. You know, I mean, that's how I feel. I'm a nobody. But there's actually people that come to Grandview Speedway, buy my apparel, and come to see me race. And
that's cool. Yeah.
And that's true. You're going to get up and ditch that guy? Or not sign something for somebody,
right,
or whatever.
And realistically, if they're a huge fan of yours, they celebrate when you win, and they suffer when you don't have a good night also. So it's the same for everybody, you know? These guys put everything into it. So very commendable what you do, and we really appreciate you hanging out and take care of these fans, because that's so important, and a lot of guys don't get it.
For a story, I was in Staples. Probably a year ago. And I'm standing in line to get checked out, and I hear this, "Mom." And I didn't really pay no attention. I heard this, "Mom." And finally I had to just a little glance over, and he's like, "Mom," pulling on her jacket. And I looked over. You know, that is, like, be awesome. You know, I'd have gave that kid every dime in my pocket.
That is awesome. That's
cool story. That's cool.
You can't put words into, you know what I mean, just a local dirt track racer that somebody comes and enjoys. And, you know, the worst part is when I do screw up they come back and they tell me.
No, that's awesome.
What you did. Oh, really was that night.
We can see the RCN broadcast. You get copies of that and actually see what happened during. And you got to get recognized for that because you're always one of the top runners in that. But we do the RCN broadcast. You have Fudge checking out. You know, are the Gary Silver videos? You check out the donor for what you did. And
you know, the worst part is I watched that and I'm like, and it was only, you know, a day or two later. And I'm looking at this stuff and I'm like, did that really happen?
I don't remember that whatsoever.
Maybe you were still sleeping in the car.
You know, the worst, and I come back into the pits and the guys say, man, that was a hell of a move, or, boy, you really jerked him up. And I'm like, when?
Show me the tape.
Yeah. Patty, here, this is what you did.
That
you
is so cool.
Tapes,
oh, Patty videotapes. There you go. All right.
Man, I really did mess up.
You said you had a pretty big fan base here, which I know you do. How many years have you been racing the dirt circuit?
I actually started 91.
What'd you start in?
Late model.
Right up? Really?
I'm going to tell you what. It was the worst car. I dug it out of Dave Rule's yard with trees growing up through it. $800, man. What was I thinking? We're jogging home, had to borrow a trailer, borrow a truck to get there.
But I'm going racing, damn it.
It really ran. I mean, honestly, it was the worst pile. And I pull in with this pink and black 1S late model.
It's like a good and plenty box.
Oh, it was. Well, you didn't even know which way were the front or the back was.
Couldn't tell if you were coming or going.
They probably thought it was the Herbert's brother when he pulled in with a big black.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
And I walked up and I looked at that truck and I told my buddy Walt, and I said, I ain't going out there. You're driving the darn thing. No, I'm not. Well, I thought I was going a million miles an hour until Duncan and all those guys went by me and just about ripped the sheet metal off.
We're missing some juice buttons here.
Holy cow.
Oh, my God.
And, I mean, the learning curve we went through. In 92, I ended up getting into a pretty bad car accident where it cut my right leg off and smashed my left foot. So then I became a car owner up till, I will say, 94 to 96. The last 2 weeks of 96, I was actually able to get back in a race car, raced the last 2 weeks. Like, whew, man, better get some training. But, you know, we were going pretty good. We had pretty good equipment by then still. And we had some good drivers, and we learned a lot. And I don't think without that period of time, I wouldn't have learned as much. You know what I mean? Because, boy, did we learn.
With that being said, Chuck, who were some of the most influential people when you were getting started? Who gave you the most advice? Who helped you out the most? Who pointed you in the right direction?
Bob Green. Remember Bob
I
Green?
I do remember Bob Green.
Camaro.
37.
Camaro.
Bob Camaro.
He took me under his wing like I was his son. I mean, it was good. And the Green family, Charlie Green and all the Green boys, and I don't know if you know them, but
big boys.
They are big.
You don't want to piss them off.
No. So I became really close friends with them, and they took me under the wing. And in, I guess, 90, one of those years, he gave me my first alcohol carburetor because I was on gas and overheating and carrying on. So I didn't know nothing about alcohol. Well, I tried to get it running, it wouldn't run, so we missed the week of racing. And they're like, you need to put gas in there, and it'll fire it up. Okay, went home, fired it up, good. Next week, we went out there, we burned it to the ground. And it lumicoated the headers from the inside.
Oh, no.
Because we never put cold plugs in it, because I didn't know. So we ruined a brand-new engine. And, you know, the story goes on from there, but in 97, when I came back from my full season, the second week, I actually passed, I can't remember, it was a number 11 blue car on the outside with two laps to go for my first win.
Wow.
And
that was it.
I cannot remember his name, but that was my first win, and in my home, my own built late model.
Really?
Yeah. I forgot about that car.
You
actually
built that. You built the car too.
Yeah.
Awesome.
From the ground.
From the ground. You won it. That's cool.
And it was so far ahead of its time. Not to brag.
Uh huh.
But that car was awesome, and I wish I had that car today.
Really?
Really?
What made
that
it so special? Drivability, reliability.
That car did things that the cars are doing today.
Back then?
It didn't have a right side frame rail. The right side frame rail was about mid-staff of the, you know, mid-staff of the car. It was about 2.5 feet off the ground.
Ooh.
Yep.
Wow.
And it laid over. It didn't drag. It didn't do a bunch of stuff. And you know, Ronnie Klein actually drove that car down in Georgetown, and he says, "This thing flies." But yeah, I forgot about that. Was when I raced that car for several years. It ended up getting to be too heavy. That's why I stopped racing.
Oh,
that was when the weight models used to be 2,500 pounds.
They were a lot heavier than then than they are now.
That thing was a tank.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is the late model got away now?
2350.
With the driver.
The driver. After the race, yes.
After. 2350. Yeah. Hmm. Now, do you run alcohol or gasoline in them?
Alcohol.
Now you don't have that rule like at Grandview has with the modifieds with alcohol and you get in gasoline you get a weight rule.
You know, I don't know that answer to be honest with you.
Yeah. I'm
not familiar with that. If that.
Yeah, I just wondering if they would, you know, if that would work, but. You know, so what do you think about this surface at Grandview so far? You said tire wear was good. Are you a rubber over guy? Because you guys don't get to run on a rubber over track.
No, and I totally miss that. My car is actually set up for the dead slick, you know what I mean? And we get in this choppy, rough stuff. My car really ain't that good. But, yeah, I if I had my choice, man. Race us dead last when the cows are coming home and everything else. When that thing's slick from top to bottom, when you can move around and actually
like years
put it on
ago.
The
yeah.
You like pedaling. You like pedaling the car.
Yeah, I mean, and set your car up to go on that stuff.
That usually separates the men from the boys.
Yeah, right now, you know, the guys who kind of start up front, you know, when we race first, right after the heat races, it's tough to catch them. I mean, the competition level at Grandview right now is pretty awesome.
The late models are good.
They are.
Run, you know,
yeah. It's just
there's what 18 cars. At least 10 of them could win every Saturday night.
I say there's 12 cars that could win any given night. Honestly.
Yeah.
And now I'm to believe there is actually a couple good cars actually coming for this year too. So I guess I better be on my A game.
Wow.
I want to hang up that dragster. They're coming after you, pal.
You know, it's, you know, and for me, I try to promote it. I try to promote the Grandview racing. People come and say, "You guys run like a bunch of crazy men." And we really do. You know what I mean?
For the feature.
Yeah, and we're like, "Oh, you guys are just crazy." But it's just, it's a good place to race, and you're going to get tore up, you know what I mean? Because you really got to watch who you're racing with, you know what I mean? And stuff happens. It happens before you can blink.
Yeah.
And nobody's perfect, you know what I mean? And, you know, stuff's going to happen, so you just try not to put yourself in those predicaments.
Wow.
Does anybody come to you, like a newcomer coming in, like Netta Rostek or something, and they ask you, like, ins and outs? You know, how they can get around the track better, because for you to teach them or help them is actually giving you with the possibility of you might be in a wreck with them.
I've been beat on my own setups already.
Really?
Wow, that sucks. Help people out, man. Son of a bitch. You know, and son of, you know, some of my setups don't work for people.
That's
people
right. Everybody's driver.
But for the most part, I pointed some advice to Steve Nedorowski a couple times. Jason Miller, you know what I mean, I help out, and he won a race this year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'll help anybody out, period. Hmm? you come to me, I'll ask you some questions, I'll try to help you out, and even drivability. Guys, about driving a race car, about trail braking, you know.
What's trail braking?
Yeah, what is that in a late
trail
model?
Trail braking's not when you don't let off the gas and you drag the brake.
So you're using both feet.
Exactly.
So the car's not unloading then.
Exactly. It doesn't fall off the bars. It stays up on the bars. Right. You're tracking up all the way around.
All right. So it stays jacked up down the back straightaway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of times, man. Even exiting the turn, I'm dragging the brake like you can't believe.
Really?
Just to keep the tires from not spinning.
When we see those front rotors glowing, you're drag braking then.
Pretty much.
And if you're not doing that, you're spinning the tires off it.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yep. It's all about not spinning. As soon as you spin the tires, the turn is done.
It's old.
Yeah, you're waiting and everybody's running down your door.
Yeah.
You're
doing
your phone for their other wall, but, you know, it's just so, it's tough to explain, but, I mean, you got those earphones in. You're trying to listen to the cars that are around you so you don't come out on them. You're trying, I mean, there's so much going on. You know, stuff's going to happen. It's a short little racetrack.
Yeah. How do you see out the right side? You know, in a late model, you don't.
You put yourself in this, you know,
zone.
Tunnel.
You don't
like
no?
No, or tunnel, because tunnel will get you straight. You need to overview.
Oh, okay.
When you're going straight, you need to be looking this way and this way.
Really?
And as far as you can ahead.
That's the key. Looking ahead is the key.
There's so much happening. You know what I mean? A lot of times I'll see two cars up ahead of me, and I'm like, this ain't good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I won't run my car into the turn because I just got the feeling it ain't going to be good. You know, and then it kind of leaves me an exit. Yeah, those cars get together, I still can go left or right, or because 9 times out of 10, if you stop on that racetrack, you're getting hit.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the true
escape route.
Yeah, that's
and
the true fact.
If you're going to wreck, you always wreck straight on. Keep your car
never
straight
turn
up.
It.
Exactly.
Because guys do that. They see a car and they turn it side and then they smash into them.
Yeah, that's because some guys got three-wheel brakes, and I don't
care.
Whatever you're doing, as soon as you hit that brake, you're spinning.
You're spinning.
Out.
Yeah,
that's right.
You're spinning.
I don't care if your Hercules behind that wheel. You're spinning out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I flag occasionally, and I have the driver's meeting, I call it a passing flag. I don't move it to move over flag. I tell the guys to stay in that line. Run that line. That way when the leader comes up, he knows where you're going to be. Because sometimes if you start waving that flag, they go from the bottom to the top, the bottom to the top. Am I actually saying they're running there, Chuck? Because I've seen a couple of accidents the last couple of years where as soon as that slower car sees it, they want to go faster now, and they can't handle what they were doing before. So you think it's the idea if they just held their line up, would you get there, you'd which way to go around them?
Some days that works out, some days it doesn't. Some days you're better off just letting them go.
Right.
And you're figuring it out from there. Because, like you said, as soon as they see that flag, either they slow down too much and really, you know, creeping on the bottom. And I'll play some guys like that. You know what I mean? If there's a lap car there, you know, and the two guys are running on the outside, I'll run up on the lap car because I know if he's hugging the bottom, I could still either make it three wide going down the back stretch
right.
and still get those two cars.
Right. That's got to be frustrating, though. You know you're faster than a guy, and you're just stuck behind them. It's got to be driving you nuts.
You start 18th. If you win a feature and there's, just say, 22 cars, you're going to start 18th or whatever, and you're stuck back there. And the two cars are running side by side, and here you are. The laps are clicking off.
Yeah, right, there's only 20 of them.
I'm feeling well, and there's about 5 laps to go, and that's a little frustrating because you really want to give them the chrome horn, but you can't. You know, they're out there racing, and
next week it might be you in that situation.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And I try to give everybody, you know what I mean, their time.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I won't not go down and scream and yell at that lap car. Dude, he's still out here doing his deal, too.
That's right.
It might be a little out of control or whatever, and if I could help him get any better, I'd be more than glad.
That's awesome.
And that makes it better for you as a racer out there on the track to help them. You know? Are you a fan of the double file or single file restarts?
Single
file.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because when you start 18th, when I start 18th, I pray for a caution in the first lap.
Oh, okay. Why?
Because then you don't get stuck with the double file guys running 2x2.
Okay.
I could pick a couple cars off on the first initial restart single file, maybe clear the couple guys that are a little tougher to pass, and go on with my business.
Now,
plus, we're not all jammed up because the double file thing gets a little ugly sometimes on the restart.
Yeah.
It's like coming out of four there at times.
Yeah.
I mean, because at the cone on the backstretch on a restart, you can pass right after the cone, or do you have to wait till the finish line? You pass right after that cone,
right?
After
the cone, they have everybody goes to the bottom. You just take her wide open and go around the cushion if there is one or whatever. And but there again, on the exit, you got to watch them coming off the bottom, and they're going to pinch you into the wall. So you better be able to hand a love letter. Hey, baby.
I'm here.
I think it'll be pretty far ahead, just not a nose, because they can't see you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because they're out the right side. You can't see out of that. Can you see the flagger? Can you see Ray up at the top?
Yeah, a lot of times, there is many times in my earlier year that I thought the white flag was the checker.
You're not the first one. You're not alone.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know, back in the day, I didn't have fresh air thing. Yeah, I mean, and you're in there huffing. Your visor fogs up. Now you're looking out this little corner.
Oh,
you know what I mean? And I lost many qualifying spots due to that in a modified.
Really?
Because
you check up because you thought the white was...
I looked it off. Thank God I qualified. Oh, shit. I was...
Blog talk. We're on the internet. We can say whatever we want.
Yeah.
Visor's colorblind. And he told me when I was flagging up at Big Diamond, he says, I'm glad they have the red, yellow, and green traffic lights because he can actually see, you know, which one it is. Because if I'm waving the yellow, it's green there. It looks green, you know, depending on, he says, there's many times where I saw going down the backstretch wondering what color the light was that was down there.
Oh, crazy.
Yes.
Wow.
So,
never thought about
coming
that.
Coming by and I'm waving the yellow and he thinks it's red and he stops right away. Or,
that could get ugly.
That gets bad.
Did you, the idea with the new safety lights around the track, does that make it a lot easier for the drivers now? I mean, it's two down the backstretch and in the corners. You used to just have the lights outside the track. Is that safe?
Good. They are really good. You know what really messes me up? When you're coming off of turn four, there's a street light out in the parking lot.
I know exactly which one
you're talking
about.
And you, man, and you roll out a little bit. Oh, stupid. Hey, that's not a yellow flag.
So there's a street light in the parking lot that's affecting your vision.
It does.
Oh, man. It took me a lot of years to get trained about that stupid street light.
Really? Well, Kenyon got hit by Richie at Syracuse because the barn light in Syracuse was on and it was yellow. So Kenyon checked up and thought it was the yellow light on the track. And Tobias hit him in the ass so hard. So what the hell are you stopping for?
You
know? Barn light. You know? Yeah. Well, we need to get that fixed, too. Well, we need 25 to 30 laps. We need the light fixed up there at Grandview. What else you need fixed, John?
We've got to take the Dominex. We've got to take the Dominex away from them so they don't fall asleep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We also need a late model modified challenge race.
Yes, late model modified. And, hey, here's the thing. You know how they do that, the challenge race for the modifieds? Would you late models be interested in doing that? Would that be something you guys?
Yeah, we're into what they call gauntlet races.
Do you like doing that?
Yeah, Garmin pulled that
off. Do you like doing that? Because I hear, like, you know, because I was doing it, and I heard some guys, you know, cry about it. Do you like doing those?
I like to do anything that's different for the fans too.
There you go.
To entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes if you get, you know, the bottom of the track's the fastest, and you're stuck on the outside. You know what? Oh, well, you give it your best.
Give the fans a show. That's what you're there for.
Show, you know what I mean? But, you know, I got no problem doing, you know, additional stuff to support, you know,
and it gives you more race time.
Yeah.
One lap, but unless you win them all, and then you get it.
Yeah, well, extra money's good, you know what I mean? But it's, you know, it's still, you know, I mean, it's a fun gig.
Yeah, it's quick cash. I mean, if you can hang on and do the
yeah.
whole deal.
As long as you can go in your spot, you know what I mean, on the bottom, which
yeah.
is fast, and you're hooked up, it's all good. You know what I mean?
It's only a third of a mile. You can't screw up that bad on a third of a mile, can you?
Oh, you can screw up really bad. It happens really fast. From here to zero, on a quarter of a lap, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean... Because, I mean, now, okay, so you've gone to other tracks. Are you, because Grandview is like, they call it high banked. I mean, but it's banked. Are you more into the bank tracking, or do you like Susquehanna had banked, Ceilings Grove's a little flatter, then Hagerstown's flat. Are you into the flatter or the more banking surfaces?
It
don't
doesn't matter.
Matter. Hammer down.
The only thing I could say is Cumberland County, down near the Rock.
Uh-huh.
Right along the Potomac. It's an awesome place. Down there, we went down there for the Big Kahuna race.
Okay.
Oh,
we went down there and we rolled into the parking lot and we seen this 00 red car go by us, and you could see the moisture foil like on jet planes coming
yeah.
off the spoiler.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, the caution came out. Both feathers is literally hanging in a tree. And I said to Ziegler, I
ain't
going
happening.
Out there. Dude, that place is fast.
Crazy
Dude,
fast.
I mean,
Cumberland, Maryland.
Oh, my God. We went down there, and it was 88 laps, and you had the pit and all this stuff, and we were breaking jack handles. We went down there, we were the first starting. We had a T-handled wrench. Trying to change tires.
No good.
Pit.
Well, that's something you're not accustomed to around here. That's all new to you.
Yeah, you ain't pit stopping.
Oh, Drew is hitting us a jacket. I think he broke the handle in half. And then he's hitting us electric gas back. It won't happen. The guys are putting gas in the thing. They overfill it. It runs down, fills the Parker bumper up. And the tires, there's four bald tires going 140 miles an hour.
Unbelievable.
Because they're just bald. They're down to the course.
Just smoked them.
Tore them up. Huh. And we ended up, we were running really good, and then we ended up blowing a tire and stuff like that. But
just
that
disintegrated?
It was just the case.
Wow.
There was nothing left of it.
Now, have you always raced down American Racers?
No, because when you go to Hagerstown, they're on Hoosiers.
The Hoosiers.
Yeah. You know, I don't know the tire game too much because you go to Grandview, you got three to choose from.
Right. Yeah. It is what it is.
It is what it is. So trying to learn the Hoosier tire and everything else, and that's just totally beyond me. You know, when I go to Hagerstown, you go to the tire guy, what do I need?
Because, I mean, you know, just with the super late miles, do they give out a little information, or are they just pretty?
No, I actually had really good help from a lot of good, reputable teams.
Cool.
You know what I mean? That really did help me. You know, and the problem is we used to go to Winchester every year for the 200, and we ended up wrecking in the heat race, and everybody's like, dude, my shop's down there. If you can't get it fixed, we'll go fix it. The hospitality, when you leave Pennsylvania, I'm not downgrading any Pennsylvanian.
Right.
But you can't believe how friendly they are.
I've heard stories about that. It's unbelievable.
You need a motor. You need anything.
Just ask for it, and you get it.
Ask for it.
Oh.
They're good people.
It's awesome.
Well, you want to run a speedster at Kutztown this year? Would you be interested on a Wednesday if someone offered you a ride? $2,000 to win.
Maybe that would be my only race. I would enjoy the opportunity to race anything.
You ever run, you ever had fan like vision of running a sprint car or anything?
That's one thing I'm not allowed to race.
No.
Mm-hmm.
As
he points to Patty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No sprint in cars.
But I would love
would
to feel what that
Pat.
Thing with, on the roof, that wing, feels like.
Yeah.
To go in there wide open and just turn the car.
Yeah.
And just hold on. That's got to be the ultimate brush.
Yeah.
How about, remember last year where they did the run what you brung type of thing? Do you ever, like, you know, at the end of the year, we wish they'd still do that?
Well, they did.
But they didn't.
Two years ago.
And I don't understand. From what I understand, they had a heck of a car count.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The was
awesome.
And the stands were packed.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why they didn't do that this year. We were actually going to put a crazy,
big board. Nice.
Like, it would have took us all day to assemble it in the pits.
So, wow. So the fancy, now here's three. Now we need the light change, 35 lap or 25 lap feature, and at the end of the year we need a run with your bronc show.
Oh, we need a roofless show.
Yeah,
the top.
We have a list of demands
show.
Here.
We have a list. So listen, fans, just go on Grandview's Facebook page and just put some suggestions in there.
Yeah.
You know? The suggestion box.
Mainly
yeah.
Our suggestions.
Yeah.
Well, I
you can blame
them
on
us. I don't need to run what you're wrong, but, I mean, a couple more laps for us. And, you know, and I talked to a couple, even super late model teams. If Grandview would post some money, dude, there would be people that you couldn't, big name people, because it would actually save them money.
Yeah.
Because it's
instead of buying 3 and 4 engines
that's
and
right.
All this stuff, they'd be glad to come down and race.
Wow.
And I don't understand. They could control, as far as I'm concerned, they can control the East Coast.
That's
on
a big statement.
On a Saturday night.
That is
I
a
honestly,
huge
yeah, that's
statement.
A really good.
You pay the money, the people will come. Put it even on a progressive car count on the payout. That way nobody loses.
Good idea.
And I'm going to tell you what.
And
if I could promote it and talk to my boy out in Central PA, Hagerstown, Maryland, all it.
Because that would bring cars and fans.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the late models are big.
Good cars. Good cars that, yeah, I mean, you would have a Concy and the racing would be fabulous.
Great insight.
I went to Williamsgrove one Saturday. $5 night out there.
Yeah.
For Saturday.
Saturday, yeah.
Sportsmen's and late models for $5.
That's
I mean,
a hell of a deal.
That late models out there, they put on one fantastic show. And just the idea of knowing that they would be coming from Williamsgrove to Grandview, I mean, that Gene Knob out there, that guy's incredible.
Whatever he's doing right. And you know what? And I was actually really proud. Yeah, I mean, Randy Stout went out there and actually had a really good showing.
You did have a good showing.
I was
mm-hmm.
proud of that. Yeah, I mean, a Grandview, you know, boy or whatever you want to call it, you know what I mean, going out there and really representing.
Good point,
yes.
Good point.
He did make stuff. You're very good. You're a class act.
You are a class act.
You
and
are
Chuck,
a class
we really
act.
Appreciate you being
act,
here tonight.
Man.
Great insight.
Mm-mm.
Awesome, yeah. Awesome interview. We're down to just a couple minutes here, so I think we're going to wrap up here very soon. And, again, I want to thank Chuck for being on.
We rocked 2 hours, man.
We did rock 2 hours.
But nobody knows Chuck is the one. They know him as the O and E.
The lone O. Where did that number come from with the one and a one, O, one? Where did you, how did you come up with that?
It started off as the one S. You know, the one
right.
Chuck. And then Mark Fisher.
Yep.
You know, who we kind of all know. We just kind of developed into the O and E, spelling it out, a little something different.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's certainly been your signature trademark for several years, and I think if you got rid of it, there would be some unhappy people.
I was going to.
Really?
Oh,
I don't think that
breaking
would be
a... news.
No, it ain't break. I did think about it, honestly. You know, I thought about being the 15.
Why 15?
I don't know. I just kind of like that number on the side of a race car. It just kind of flows.
Kind of gets chicks.
And then I decided.
Chicks dig it. Chicks dig it.
But I decided that'd be a bad deal. With all the, you know, I mean, apparel that's out there on
yeah.
the O&E. I'm already set as the O&E.
Realistically, it's your brand now.
Yeah, exactly. So,
it really is.
Yeah, I mean, stick a hot knife on me and brand new. That's who I am.
You know, we're talking about Randy Stout. Line box go by the N-I-N-E.
Yeah.
They don't put the
that's
actual
right.
number on the
right.
car.
Right.
So
that's been their look for many, many years as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, for a long time.
Awesome.
That was a good interview, Chuck. You did awesome. Charging Chuck, you rock, man.
Dude,
Chuck,
I appreciate the opportunity. It was a lot of fun.
Good.
And,
if I give a shout out to, you know, Rhonda and family who are listening, thank you for all the support. They're probably one of my biggest fans in turn one.
Awesome.
I'm back at
clap is flying out of here.
Yeah, it is. Lots of clapping tonight.
Well, enjoy yourself down to Charlotte.
Oh,
thank
most
you
definitely.
For, thank you for representing Grand
Yeah,
Beach
way to
Speedway.
Rep. Way to rep the hill, baby.
Yeah, way to rep the hill, man. You know?
Rep the hill. Well, we're going to close out here very soon. A couple things I want to touch on. First of all, I want to thank everybody that's been going to our Lowdown and Dirty page on Facebook and liking us. We're kind of overwhelmed by the response we've been getting here the past couple weeks, and I just wanted to give you a shout-out and say thank you for stopping by and checking us out. If you have some friends, pass that along to them. Hopefully they can stop by and like us as well. And I'm going to end the show tonight on a little bit of a sad note, but we're going to stay positive about this. I would like to dedicate this show to some friends of mine that are going through some things in their life. My good friend Brad, also known as the Diamond Dog, and his wife Sue and her son Sean. I'd like you guys to keep them in their thoughts and prayers because Sean has been battling Ewing's sarcoma cancer. And when you get in a situation like this here, we could all use as much support and friends and prayers and everybody behind us as much as we can. So take a little time out of your busy schedule and say a little prayer for that family because they're great people. And on behalf of Lowdown and Dirty, I would like to dedicate this show to that family. And keep plugging away. Never give up. So with that, I appreciate everybody listening in tonight. Thank you, Chuck Schutz. Patty,
thank
I appreciate you.
You
being here. Mike Feltenberger, thank you so much
yes,
for stopping.
Thank you, Mike.
In.
Pleasure being here.
On behalf of Tammy, Scott, Whippy.
Thank you.
We appreciate you listening. We'll see you next week with our special guest, none other than Billy Pouts Jr. Got a lot of things to announce, and so make sure you tune in. So it's going to be a good show with him as well. Chuck, great job, and I just want to say goodnight, everybody. Thank you very much.
Thank you.